I listened to Monday's show this morning. The sound was so bad, I told Kelly to pull it. I said, get rid of that. I don't like putting out inferior quality products. I listened to that just this morning. I go, what the? Hey, everybody. Martin Zender here. She said, oh, the material's too good. It's really great information. So I apologize for the sound quality. We were in an undampered room on the porch there in New York, and I wanted to pass that mic around, but people were saying, keep it in the middle. Everybody will be all right. I'm sorry. Yeah, I do sweat the details. I do. If I don't do it, who's going to? So I got to do it. Anyway, I apologize for that. This weekend, we're going to be in Birmingham, Alabama. Go to my homepage, just a little back click away after you hear this show. You can let Laura Johnston know you're coming. You can get the information there on that page, or you can just show up and don't tell anybody you're coming. Surprise everybody. Surprise! That would be fun. Love to see you there. Told you we were going to Colossians chapter 1, and we are. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, this is Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God and brother Timothy to the saints and believing brethren in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thanking the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying concerning you on hearing of your faith in Christ Jesus. I got to stop here. I'm getting to this main part. About the day you believed. When did you become a member of the body of Christ? Now, I know that you were selected for this before you were born, way before you were born, in fact, before the disruption of the world. What year was the disruption of the world? It was somewhere before 1959. So you were chosen in him before the disruption, and you know my teaching on this, which is the teaching of the Apostle Paul. Well, let's go ahead and go there. Let's go to Romans 8 and show you the order of things. I think this is a related topic. Now, we are aware that I'm in Romans 8:28, right? We're aware that I'm in Romans 8:28. We're also aware that God's working all together for the good of those who are loving God, who are called according to the purpose that, here's the order of things. One, whom he foreknew. Two, these he designates beforehand also. He foreknew you, designates you beforehand. This should remind you of Romans chapter 9, that before Jacob and Esau were even born, God determined ahead of time, Jacob I love, Esau I hate. It's relative. The hate is relative to the love. So before you were born, he decided that he loved you and chose you for this epic call, and other people he hated and he didn't choose him. I hope to drill it into your head that you are not worthy of this and you didn't earn it. It's of grace that it might accord with grace and not works, lest anyone should be boasting. So he foreknew you, designated you beforehand. This does not mean you existed before you were born. You did not. You were not a little spirit kernel. You are not gallivanting around in heaven waiting to come into your body. You didn't exist yet, but since God is God and you're not, he saw you in the future and he knew that you would be born. Wow, how did God know that? Wow, because he's God. Whom he foreknew, he designates beforehand to be conformed to the image of his son. Not everybody is that. For him to be firstborn among many brethren, not all are his brethren. Everybody's going to enjoy eternity with God. Everybody's going to be a part of the kingdom of the Son of His love, but not everyone is going to be conformed to the image of the Son of His love. Now, whom He designates beforehand, these He calls. That's why I insist that if you were designated beforehand, foreknown, you will be called in this lifetime. You will hear the message from a messenger, an evangelist, a herald, an ambassador of peace. Now, whom he designates beforehand, these he calls also. Whom he calls, these he justifies. Justifies, well, that's the day that you realize that you are righteous before God in spite of your many, 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 and some of you, many, many, flaws. This is a great day, by the way. I was a Christian for 4 years before I was a believer, because I thought that God loved me because I chose him. Little did I know, I chose him because he loved me and designated me beforehand to, quote, choose him, unquote. Well, I chose him, all right, but I did it through the will of God. Now, who he calls, he justifies. He gives to them the truth of their righteousness before him apart from acts. Whom he justifies, these he glorifies. That's the part I'm looking forward to. And I talked about this in New York. I said, God is going to glorify you, and he's going to glorify me, and we look forward to glory. I want to be glorified, and I'm going to be, and you're going to be. It's part of the program. It's the last step here. Vivified, glorified. So now we go back to Colossians. That's the order. Let's review real quick. I'm going to go all the way back here to see my four new designates, calls, justifies, glorifies. He foreknew you, designates you, calls you. Now we're on this side of your birth. Justifies you. That has to happen during your life here. And then he glorifies also. See, the glorification is the last step. That's why I know the justification and the calling happens in this life. Looking forward to that. So, back to Colossians. Going to look at some nuts and bolts. And I love this stuff. I love to see how practical this stuff is. I love taking this stuff off the high theological shelf and putting it in practical application. When was I saved, Martin? Well, in a sense, you were saved at the cross. In a sense, you were saved before the disruption. But in an even more real, applicable, sensual sense, you were saved when you realized your salvation. That's when it became practical to you. Christians give us examples about how this gift works. It's like a birthday present, they say. Wait a minute, I didn't make fun of them enough there. It's like a birthday present. Oh, okay, how is it like a birthday present? Well, you have to accept that people can hand you a really nice box with a fancy bow and happy pictures on the wrapping paper, but if you don't open it, then it's not yours. Well, that is an example of something, but it's not an example of how we were saved. It's more like this. God deposited $1 million in your bank account. It's in your name. It applies to you. You're rich. You're wealthy. But you don't live like a wealthy person until someone tells you that you have $1 million in your bank account. And now you can start writing checks and experiencing it, experiencing this fact. There, that's the example. So here's Paul again. We're in Colossians chapter 1. Now I'm up to verse 3 already. We are thanking the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying concerning you on hearing of your faith in Christ Jesus. Your faith. Well, it's your faith in a relative sense. It was given to you, but we can speak of it as your faith, only as we understand that it was given to us by Christ. I hate having always to point out this absolute relative perspective, but I find it's quite necessary. We're rejoicing about hearing of your faith and the love which you have for all the saints because of the expectation reserved for you in the heavens. He expects things. We expect things. It's a compliment to God to expect things. I talked to Dan Sheridan about this a couple weeks ago that, you know, God keeping us going, you're doing this for your name's sake. It makes you look bad if you don't keep us going and keep us fed and keep us moving and keep us in this evangel. It's your responsibility, and we put that on him, and he likes it. It's like, well, if I'm going to say this is of Christ and not of me, I'm going to take it practically and say, hey, God, you know, just like Moses did. God said, I'm going to slaughter this people. They're stiff-necked and dumb. And Moses said, well, don't do it for your own namesake. You promised to do this. Now, how's this going to make you look? God said, oh, you got a point there. So save them for your own sake. Don't do it for me. Don't do it for them. Do it for your own namesake. You promised. So we're expecting God to deliver on his promises. He promises to glorify us. And I'm holding him to it. And he likes it. Not letting them off the hook on this. I have to let him off the hook in my daily, day-to-day operations because I think things should go one way, and apparently he thinks they should go another way. I got to let him off the hook there because I don't know what's good for me. I can't pray in accord with what must be. The Spirit does that in me. Read Romans 8. We were just there, but read the beginning of that chapter. There's an expectation reserved for you in the heavens. It's there right now like a table reserved for you at a restaurant. Isn't that great? when you call into a restaurant ahead of time and you have a reservation, it's in your name. And you get to the restaurant and it's all busy and it's crowded and there's people standing out the door, but you don't care because you just waltz up to the desk. I have a reservation for Martin Zender. Yes, sir, Mr. Zender, step right this way. And you step in front of all those people waiting. I almost called them losers. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. You step in front of all those people waiting and you go to the head of the class because you have a reservation. Well, we have a reservation. And we can expect to see that reservation honored because it's been called in ahead of time. How far ahead of time? Before the disruption on the world. Expectation reserved for you in the heavens, which you hear before in the word of the truth of the evangel. We heard this. Paul taught about this earlier. Which being present with you, according as in the entire world also, is bearing fruit. If you have this expectation of a reservation, that'd be a good title for this talk. Expectation of reservation. If you have this, then you're going to bear fruit in your life, but only as you continually think about it. Paul meant for us to think about this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when he talks about being snatched away together with the dead in Christ and snatched away together to meet the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the air, Paul says, therefore comfort ye one another with these words. I threw in a KJV word there just to impress you. Comfort one another with these words. And you will bear fruit when you think about these things. Now, so Paul says, I'm happy to hear of your faith and that you're believing this expectation reserved for you, this reservation, and it's bearing fruit and it's growing according as it is among you from the day on which you hear and realize the grace of God in truth. And I'm going to get into specifics on this tomorrow. I know I said I was today, but I got off on what I thought was a fruitful rabbit trail, a worthy one, and it's just adding to the drama and the suspense of this epic passage, because I think this is underappreciated, this passage. I think it's really helpful to understand the nuts and bolts of when you were called. If you want to confirm your reservation, that's fine. That's what I'm doing here. Basically, I'm confirming your reservation. Martin, I'm not sure if I have a reservation. Well, call and confirm, all right? Ring. Yes, do I have a reservation? Yes, let's look at Colossians chapter 1. This is the confirmation of your reservation. We're going to get into more details of that tomorrow, but know this for sure. Your reservation has been phoned in ahead of time. It's got your name on it, and you can expect to be seated in one of the best tables among the celestials high above this dilapidated planet Earth.